Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
We left off in the previous year discussing the halacha of Eina Shel Kayama, and we came to the realization that there seems to be a major focus to Rishonim in terms of the time frame, what exactly constitutes permanence and what not. And we saw that the Rambam had his unique understanding that everything revolves around Shabbos. And if it can last till Shabbos is over, that's called Shel Kayama. If it can't make the Shabbos over, then and only then is it considered to be Eina Shel Kayama. And Rashi seemed to disagree. I say seem, Rashi doesn't say explicitly, but the Mishnah reads into Rashi that it probably means a much, much longer time frame. Shel Kayama li olam, forever. Forever doesn't mean literally forever, but a really, really significant amount of time in order to constitute Iksiva Shel Kayama. Again, this is all on a level of deraisa, a level of their opponents. Even Eina Shel Kayama, even to write the fruit juice is prohibited. But in order to be Chayav, so then the requirement of Kayama, in order to get to be kosher, that's the Shel Kayama. How precisely do you define Kayama? So there seems to be a third opinion, almost somewhere between the two extremes, which not only is a question quantitatively different, but it's a very different conceptual understanding of what's going on in the sugya. And the background is a Shittas Rashba that appears in Masechta Shabbos. And we need a little bit of a background to the background as to what exactly the Rashba is referring to. It's based on a sugya that appears in the beginning of the 16th parak of Masechta Shabbos, a parak called Kisvei. So the Mishnah is working with the following assumption. We know that one of the lamentas malachas of Shabbos is to extinguish a flame, kibbutz. So the Mishnah raises the question, what is that halacha? There's a fire. You have a fire. You put out the fire, don't put out the fire. So the answer is, well, it's very simple. If it's pikuach nefesh, it's a question of a risk to life, push put out the fire. If it's not pikuach nefesh, it's just a question of, you know, losing some properties. And the answer is, of course, you don't put out the fire. Now, just as a disclaimer, the poskim write that in today's world, it is very, very difficult, almost impossible to make that judgment call on the spot, whether this is something which is pikuach nefesh or not. Because in the olden days, so people lived out very, very far away from one another, out in the villages, out in the farms. So in theory, think about it, a person has his little farmhouse, and a fire breaks out, and he gets all the people in their family out of the house. So what's going to happen? So the house is going to burn down. Very sad, but in terms of pikuach nefesh, the fire is not spreading anywhere. The next neighbor is 10 miles down the road. So that in and of itself would not constitute pikuach nefesh to permit one to violate the prohibition of kibbutz. Today's world, where we have houses right next to each other, cities fairly near each other, even ones not literally on top of one another, so there's always that concern that a fire chalila may spread, and therefore the post can be ready for hundreds of years of told us that we live in a city or even a quasi, suburb kind of an area, a house that's too close for comfort. Therefore, any fire whatsoever is considered automatically be a chashash of pikuach nefesh, and therefore the fire has to be put out. Whether you do it yourself, call the fire department, whatever you would do on a Tuesday, that's what you do on a Shabbos as well. So it's interesting. Rabbi Riviat has a wonderful sefer, the Rav in Munzer, a very, very significant sefer of Shabbos, particularly contemporary issues of Shabbos. It's a four-volume, very large, great sefer about halachos of Shabbos. So he quotes anything and everything under the sun, anything you ever want to know about Shabbos. And he has very extensive, sources about the Kamos. So in his piece about kibbutz, about putting out fire, so he quotes this, that the poskim have been saying this for hundreds of years, that if you live too close to each other, everybody's close, all the houses that are considered to be close, and therefore you have to put out any house fire, you have to assume the chashash is going to spread, you're not going to get anybody out, who knows what's going to happen. So fires today, we assume will have the status of pikuach nefesh. So when he quotes his foot, in the back, he quotes his sources about just how serious you have to take fires today. So he writes in the back of source, heard from the Rockland County Fire Department. That's his bottom line for the issue. So, but the bottom line is, if you put ourselves back for a moment, back in the old days, in theory, right, guys, a little, you know, a country home somewhere, and there's nobody around, and no one's going to get hurt, no one's going to get, damaged by the fire. You know, the person would have to suffer the financial loss rather than violating the Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, what would the din be as follows? What if he doesn't want to put out the fire? He just simply wants to run into the house and take out some of the stuff out of the fire. So the Mishnah says, not so simple. Because we know that psychologically, if you let the guy go in there and he starts to save his, you know, his property, next thing you know, he's going to start to bring in hose, he's going to start to put out the fire also. So we tell him there's a fire that just get out, with two exceptions. The Mishnah says that, what if there are kisvei kodesh? What is there a second Torah in the house? What is there? There's a farm in the house that he has to get out. So then the Mishnah says, because of kisvei kodesh to protect the kedusha of the svarim, so we let him go in there not to put out the fire. We're not choshesh, we're not gozim, we don't make a decree, don't remove the fire unless you put out the fire. We lift that gezerah, v'makom kisvei HaKodesh. Then the Mishnah says, we also lift that gezerah, v'makom sudah Shabbos. So the guy's stuck in the middle of nowhere, and his property is going up in flames, and he's going to lose his shul. So he's allowed to run in there and grab his shul. That is allowed to do. Whatever he needs for sudah Shabbos, that's okay.
Why couldn't you say that it's a
very good excellent. We shouldn't point that out. We shouldn't ask that question. But to put out a flame that you're not interested in using the resulting coals for anything is actually not even a malacha deraisa. That's what Dr. Fisher says correctly. It's called the malacha she'ena tzvicha legufa. I'm doing the malacha for a different purpose than the malacha was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they put out fires to use the charcoals to melt the metal. Because here, I'm putting out the fire to save my house. So even though it's a malacha only mit the Rabbanan, nevertheless Chazal did not lift that as a bakha hefsa. There is no such rule that isum the Rabbanan mutu bakha hefsa. There's no such halacha. Tosus points out that certain times, certain the Rabbanan will lift the bakha hefsa, but others not. So Tosus writes that whenever it comes to permitting isum the Rabbanan for extenuating circumstances, Tosus writes, if you look at the Gemaras, it's very, very hard to tell what the rule is. So Tosus writes, ein l'damos isum the Rabbanan zelozeh. Just because Chazal permitted certain isum the Rabbanan because of financial hardship, they didn't necessarily permit all. So this is one of those that they in fact did not permit. So back to our discussion. So the Gemara then goes into details about this lifting of the Yisad the Rabbanim, going into the house and taking stuff out, that they lifted the Mokom Kisvei HaKodesh. What if the Kisvei HaKodesh are not written up to par? What if it's not an absolute kosher Sefer Torah? The classic sense of the word, somebody scribbled psukim on something. Somebody wrote, you know, quote unquote, kisvei kodesh, but it's not a real full-fledged halachic sefer of Tanakh. Would that also be permissible to save on Shabbos? So here we walk like a tightrope. On the one hand, we really don't want you in that house saving things because that's a recipe for potentially violating kibbutz, extinguishing the flame. On the other hand, we don't want svarim, we don't want Shem Hashem to get destroyed. So how do you navigate that tightrope? So one of the questions that the Gemara asks is, what's the din if you have svarim that are written not in black ink, they're written in inferior quality ink, in the reddish, the bluish, the greenish kind of inks, and Bizman Chazal, those inks were not as lasting, they were not as permanent as a regular good, the high quality black ink that would be used, of course, for Sefer Torah. So what's the shayla, what's the din? So in presenting that shayla, so the Gemara says, on the one hand, the psukim are there. And Brachos Bolokius Travis are so mice of the words of the Sefer Torah there. On the other hand, these words aren't going to last very long anyway. This is not a Sefer Torah with black ink, it's in green ink. And by 6 months from now, that ink's going to disappear anyway. So maybe one could argue that's not sufficient grounds to permit violating the systems. That's the shot, that's the subject that the Gemara has. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara uses the phrase that black ink, yes, you could save, because that's miskayeg. Whereas red ink, blue ink, green ink, man, that's good. That's enum miskayim. That's the phrase that the Gemara uses. So the Rashba saw that word enum miskayim, saw the phrase enum miskayim being applied to other colored ink and got very, very nervous. That's the context of the Rashba, the 13th of the Mamre Kamos. The Rashba asks,
one question. Does pikuach nefesh ever apply to animals?
So pikuach nefesh proper does it, tzar balechayim does. It means that you have to do whatever you can to prevent pain to animals. And therefore, Chazal lifted many, many isurim de rabbanon. So you're allowed to violate certain isurim de rabbanon to protect the animal from suffering from pain. But to violate isur de raisa would not apply. So comes the Rashba, the 13th of the Mamre Kamos, And the Gemara asks the following question: Hadi Amrinan, that which the Gemara says, Hani mili bidyo de mekayim. The Gemara uses the phrase mekayim to describe the black ink. Aval hochem kevel mekayim, but the red, the green, the blue ink is called eno mekayim. Kashuri, says the Rashba. Tahani na mekayim. He says, what do you mean? Red ink is not mekayim. Red ink is not permanent. The halacha is, if you write in any color ink, you're going to be chayav. Not all that different than writing in get in any color ink. If you write a get in red ink, that's a good get. The Mishnah says explicitly that if you write in other colors, that's an acceptable get. That is a way of violating Shabbos d'oraisa. So I don't understand, says the Rashba, you're using the word kayama to mean different things. That when it comes to the sugya of saving Kisvei HaKodesh, you're saying only black ink is called kayama, nothing short of black ink. Whereas to be chayef for kaisik and Shabbos, to be a valid get, other colors are also called kayama. The time of Yishev Lachav is stamps. The head you're tied with the sefta law, Zaklau. Cost of Dovashe Kayama, Dovashe Kayama, Dovashe Kayama, Dovashe Kayama, Dovashe Kayama. I'm a honey, I'm a kayama. You see clearly that red ink, blue ink, green ink are considered to be shakayama. So the Rashba says the answer is there are two different standards of kayama. Yeshlomar, the mekaymek tzas at shedarkon shabnei adam lichto ben dvarim she'en asuyim mekayman la'olam el azman echad kisifri hazichronos v'chayotzi v'hen. So says the Rashba, the word kayama means different things in different contexts. It's a relative term, permanence. Anytime you measure time, it's relative to what you're measuring against. It says the Rashba, in order to be chayv and Shabbos, it doesn't have to last forever and ever and ever. What's the cutoff point? What's the shear for lasting on Shabbos? It's whatever the olam views to be the normal amount of time you want written material to last. Why do I write things down in the first place? Why don't I just say everything about that? The answer is you want to have a record, you want to have history, you want to have a way to look back at it, to see that to remember it. So how long do I want to remember it for? So what am I writing? So I'm writing certain notes. I'm taking different notes. I want it to last. I don't care whether my writing's going to last for 20,000 years. No one's going to be around to read it. No one's going to be interested in my story 20,000 years from now. But I do want my writing to be around for a couple of years. I want it to be around for a couple of months. Whatever the shear is, the key points of the Rashba, whatever the Rashba is, that word darkon, whatever's the derech. Hilchas Shabbos is a function of darkon mekach. If I wrote something in a way that is the normal way of people last, I'm chayav. So it's a marshal. If I write with fruit juice on my plate, who's going to read it? In 3 hours from now, it's going to be gone. It's going to disappear. So I would never write down a story. If I want to make notes for somebody to read it in 6 months from now, I'm not going to write fruit juice on my plate. I'm going to take a pen and paper and write it down. Will I insist on using the highest possible quality ink of black? It's going to last my nyambu yabram. It's going to last for 1,000 years. No, I don't care. I want the notes to be read in 6 months from now. The course in college will be over by the end of the semester. I couldn't care less what's going to happen after that. The darkon shebnei adam is to write. Therefore, says the Rashba, if you write in red, green, blue, you're chayv and Shabbos. Even though those inks, they're not going to last forever, that's okay. You're still going to be chayv. But when it comes to Svarim, the Bina Dovrim is kind of the Ola, but when it comes to Svarim, so the halach is that in order for Sefer Torah to be kosher, that's the last for a very, very, very long time. Again, it's not going to last forever and ever, ever. But if you remember the song Sefer Torah written in 1842, back to your journey song, it's got to last for a while. Sefer Torah, you don't want to write. Imagine you're going to spend $80,000 on a Sefer Torah, and in a year from now, the ink's going to be gone. It's going to fade. That's ridiculous. You want a Sefer Torah to last for a significant amount of time, much, much, much more than does Da'akon Shemini Odom L'Kaimam. Therefore, when the Gemara says that black ink lasts and red ink doesn't last, says the Rashba, M'kayim v'l'makayim, meaning Svarim Ka'amah, generally. The Shir of Kayama is in the realm of Sefer Torah. Red ink for sure. But in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, red ink is perfectly acceptable to be chayav, because that's darkon shebnei adam. Everything the Rashba just said now. That's right. Therefore, it's enough to be chayav and Shabbos. It's enough to be chayav and Shabbos. So everything the Rashba just said vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos can now be carried over to Hilchos Gittin. We're not learning Hilchos Shabbos this year. We're learning Hilchos Gittin. So in Hilchos Gittin, the shir is the same. Because the same Mishnah says in Shabbos, as a Gittin, red is chayim, blue is chayim, green is chayim. So obviously that the shear of Gittin is also a function of Achidarek and Shmei Adam Lichtov. So that, which is clearly coming out of the Shittas of Rashba, has to be stopped for a moment and evaluated. When we speak about halachas of Kederech, which the Rashba has now linked, the Rashba said that the reason why you putter on Eidosh of Bayama is it's not Derech Ksiv. That's basically what he said. If the Shir is Dark and Shabbat Adam, so he has connected this to the notion of Shalak Kederech. Now, we are very well familiar with the notion of Shalak Kederech and Ruchah Shabbos. We have many, many Mishnayos that talk about malachas that are done in Shabbos in an abnormal fashion. The general rule is, whatever you do in an abnormal fashion on Shabbos is potter. It's not going to be a deraisa. It's for that reason that the Mishnah says, if you're a righty, and you write with your left hand, you're potter. And if you carry on Shabbos, instead of carrying your hand in your pocket, you stick it under your hat, you stick it under your arm or something, so you're going to be potter. That's not a malacha deraisa. It's only a malacha derabbanan. Remember, it was one of the early years of the shul. I think Hartz and I still with the president at that time, when the bus got stuck on Erev Shabbos in the Lincoln Tunnel or something, maybe right in the early years, that it was a Friday afternoon. I remember it was Shabbos Shul. Whatever, I forgot, there was a bus that was coming back to the city, and it was late Friday afternoon, and like 15 guys from a shul were stuck on that bus, sitting in the Lincoln Tunnel as Shabbos began. They couldn't. The guy wouldn't let them out, they wouldn't let them on it, and then he wouldn't get out of the tunnel. He refused to open the doors. It's a whole ball of guys. The guys would call me hysterical for the bus. So at the time,
It was Shabbos Shuvah. I was on that bus.
It was Shabbos. I definitely remember Shabbos Shuvah. So the reason why it was relevant for the story is that there's a special aloha that a person gets stuck Friday afternoon. And they're afraid, they have all the money, in this case they have their computers, they have their phones, it's a big Hefsid Mammon, it's one of these things that Hefsid Mammon. So Chazal permitted certain Yisroel Drabon. This is one of the examples that they did permit on Erev Shabbos, late in the afternoon, the Imam Shem stopped. So they permitted you to violate certain Yisroel Drabonin, Mishum Hefsid, because they were afraid if they don't permit you to do the Drabonin, you're going to end up potentially violating the Deraisa. So one of the things that the Poskim said they permitted was to carry Kiliach Chayad. So you're allowed to do a little bit of carrying in an area that doesn't have an Erev, if you do it in an abnormal fashion, because they were afraid, if they don't let you do it in an abnormal fashion, you can carry your wallet, your cell phone, and your computer in a normal fashion. So in those days, the Erev did not cross Tinek Road. Now the Erev is a little bit different because the Erev can connect from one to another. So the Shadow would be a moot today. But in those days, the Erev didn't cross over Tinek Road. So the bus that was going back to the city, that stopped by the armory, the bus stop in Bergenfield. So it stopped there, but it was across the street from where the Arab was. So we arranged to have a non-Jew go and meet the bus and take all the stuff, and take stuff, everybody's computers and everybody's bags and everybody's wallets and phones, whatever it was, to bring it back to civilization, back home. And the plan was to dump everything in the shul, leave everything at the Shabbos. The problem was that the bus driver, for some strange reason, which we still never figured out, said that he wouldn't let the non-Jew come onto the bus to take everything. He said it was a security breach. The guys had been on the bus for 6 hours, a security breach. It was 10 o'clock at night. Who was breaching? But he wouldn't let anybody come onto the bus. So we insisted that everybody take their own stuff off the bus. And the non-Jew was standing there and waiting to put it into there. They parked the car right next to the bus. So I remember all my guys, and I went to go supervise this grandiose fiasco. So the guys were getting off the bus with one guy had a computer under his arm, one guy had a cell phone on top of his baseball cap, one guy had his wallet and his shoe. Everyone was carrying Shulik and Derek, and then dumping everything on the floor, and then the non-Jew put everything into the car and drove everything. So I remember the time, the end of the story was, I remember the time. It was that, I remember Shabbos Shuva. I said to the fellas, listen, I said, there's a one-time thing. They're all dressed with me. They'll come back from, and it was dressed down, a little casual Friday. Everyone was looking in the jeans. And I said, listen, it's the first and last time in the shul, but everybody don't go home yet. Everyone, please come to my room. I will go home. I went to every single wife, every door to tell the wives not to worry, the men are all in shul. I said, make a couple of shabbos in my room at 10 o'clock at night. And permission from the rabbi, you can all dive in your weekday clothes. Because I was afraid the guy's going to go home. They'll never come back from my room. So I said, sure. So we had a my room until 10 o'clock, my room, Shabbos Shuva. Everyone, the guy's down for the yomid, it's in the shorts and jeans and whatever it was. That's a harash shah for Shabbos Shuvah. Anyway, back to the story. So sometimes you have to know what's the right, what's the wrong. I don't know how to do things to liyachayat. So the bottom line is that doing things to liyachayat is not mutter, it's also the Rabban. Sometimes the unique circumstances may actually be mutter. So we are familiar with this idea of Shalom Kederach Nuch Shabbos. Therefore, it's not a great surprise that the Rash was telling us in the Sech Shabbos that if you write something which is Eino Shel Kayama, quote unquote, it's not going to last for even to the time, which is Da'akov Shriyad Lichtov, so you're going to be potter because of Shalom Kederach. But what's a little bit striking in the Rashba is that he's applying, by extension, he's applying this principle to Gittin also. Because whatever the shear of Eino Shel Kayama by Shabbos is identical to Gittin. So he's basically telling us a Chiddush Gadol, a get has to be written according to the normal standards of writing. If you write a get, Shaloi Kederach Ksiva, that's what the Rashi just said. If you write Shaloi Kederach Ksiva, i.e. you use the ink that's going to fade, you use the ink that's going to disappear, you use the fruit juices, you use the May Mashkin, etc., things like that, to write a get, the reason why it's no good is because of Shaloi Kederach. So that's a loaded question. Is that true? Is there a halacha when it comes to Gittin that a get has to be written Kederach HaKsiva? Hiluch HaShabbos, we have such a rule, Mishnayis. In Gittin, what's the din? So when you take a look at the 14th of the Ramakamos, so the Ramah, in the very, very end, the second to the last line, the 14th of the Ramakamos, the Ramah tucked away in Eben Ezra, who's Gittin, Hiluch HaKsiva. The Ramah writes, L'chadchila yichtav asofer b'yado ha'yimanis. L'chadchila, a sofer should write again with his right hand, that he's a right hand. If he's a left hand, he's right with his left hand. Where did the Ramah get this from? Why do you have to write a get with your right hand? The guy wants to write his left hand, it's a little sloppy, but if it's legible, why can't he write with his left hand? So clearly this Ramah is based on the notion that in a Shabbos, writing with your left hand doesn't constitute writing in the Torah. So just as in a Shabbos, it's not considered to be writing, so too in Nuchus Gittin, it's not going to be considered to be writing. But notice the Rabbah only said Lechatchila. He didn't say B'diavad. He said Lechatchila, you should write with your right hand. What is the source of this Rabbah? So he gives you the Ma'an Rabbah. Matzasi Kosuv B'tikun Yashan. Who in the world is that? Matzasi Kosuv B'tikun Yashan. So in the Middle Ages, there were different, like Tikkuni Aget, there were different, like concise, you know, abridged versions. How to write again? Literally, you know, the rabbi's God. How do you write again? There are different ones that are written over the years. So this is one of those, one of the Tikkuni Aget, one of the different handbooks of how to write again. So the Ramah quotes that this idea was expressed there to make sure that the sefer, if he's a writer, he writes with his right hand. But the Ramah is very powerful about it. He writes with lechatchila. The world's not going to come to an end. We're not going to disqualify the get because it's written with the left hand. However, comes to Beis Shmuel and is not so sure that it's only a lechatchila. Says the Beis Shmuel, with the famous Osei Kalim of Eben Ezra. He's like what the Magen Avraham was in Or Chaim, and Shach was near this, and the Beis Shmuel is in Eben Ezra. So the Beis Shmuel writes, "Ulechetchil yichta biyadei mamis, v'charem ashba b'diavad kasha because we are rasmolis. I feel him eino shabish teyalim. Even for the fellow who's not ambidextrous, he cannot really normally write with his left hand. In Shabbos, he would be potter, but it sounds like it would be a kasha get b'diavad because of afogav im kasha b'Shabbos then rasmolis potter shmam alaf k'sabu." Shiny Shabbos and Lachas Machshavas. Obviously, the Ramah is telling us that Shabbos standards are different than Gittin standards. And the reason, not a great surprise, it's actually this inspiration, Lachas Machshavas. Lachas Machshavas means when they built the Mishkan, it was well thought out, it was well planned, it was well coordinated. Lachas Machshavas means it doesn't mean you just stop, you know, haphazardly do Malacha. It's the only Chayv and Shabbos for a well thought out, intention plan, Lachas Machshavas. A normal person writes, if you're planning on writing something, you pick up a pen, you write with your right hand. If you scribble something with your left hand, that's a very, very sure and way. It's a very bizarre, very odd way of writing. And therefore, argues the Mishmuel, one can say, B'nasa Ramah, that the Ikam Ikradin, write and get with the left hand is really kosher. But the Ikradin, the get is not really possible because Gittin is not the same as Shams. However, the Ayin Beis Yosef says the Mishmu of Ayin Beis Yosef Rechaim Simon Beis Shem Hedi is Divrei HaTruma. Beis Yosef quotes a Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Balei HaTorsis. Shalom and Mishabbos Lidin Tefillin Sefer Torah Mezuzos Bekulu Ksiv Ksiva Uposel Afilu B'Dievin Because of Sefer Sibolo. Okay, Shem Hashem HaGos Maimonides. Rabbeinu Baruch suggests that what would the Dibbe of a Sofer writes a Sefer Torah with his left hand? He's a righty, and he goes and he writes a letter to the Sefer Torah with his left hand. Says the Sefer Truma, I'm not even sure it's kosher b'diavad. Says the Sefer Truma, if it's not called ksiva for Shabbos, then it's not called ksiva for Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzos. Says the Beishmua, well, guess what? If it's not called Ksiva for Sevetot Mezuzos, then it's not called Ksiva, perhaps, for Kittin as well. So the Beishmua just made a machloikas between the Ramah and the Sefer Truma. But the Ramah says, yeah, lechatchil, but b'di'evet, everything's on Kittori. According to the Sefer Truma, I'm not even sure it's kosher b'di'evet. If it's not good b'di'evet by Sefer Torah, possibly, then who says it's kosher by again? So we have a major machloikas now. In these four or five lines, we have a huge machloikas that just expresses itself. This rule of Shalaika Derech, everybody agrees that's a Din Hilchos Shabbos. Yesh Lach Kor, one could raise a question. Is that what we call a Din Prati, or is that a Din Kloli? Is that a localized Din Hilchos Shabbos that you have to do things normally in order to be Chayiv on Shabbos? That's something unique to Shabbos, Balachas, Bach Shabbos, Mishkan, that has nothing to do with Kotar Kula, that has zero impact outside of the realm of the Shabbos. But do I say no, it's a Din Kloli? The Torah was given for normal scenarios. When the Torah gives us a word, ksiva, ksiva doesn't just mean ink on paper. Ksiva means a normal method of getting that ink on the paper. You take a pen and you put it in your left hand, you put a pen in your mouth and you start to make letters, even if illegible, that's not called ksiva, more of a Torah. So that seems to be a huge machalik.
I haven't thought about Shabbos, there was machalik and the Shabbos with a machalik. So the Shabbos is a lacha of the kapra, not the chepsa. By get, I would say if you need that chiluk Shabbos says that.
Okay. So have your mechaber to the egg like cow, but I would get probably have to wait till Friday to get to the egg like cow. But your mechaber to the next major kudim to sing. My God, there's kind of different kinds of shinuyim, different kinds of shalaka dance. So the simple reading of
the thing is, it brings us down when I say the Torah was. He doesn't say anything when it comes to get.
Right. The Shmuel is assuming whatever you would have said, like I would say, Torah is most probably, Torah and Kittin are much closer to each other than Shabbos. Shabbos is kind of sitting in its own corner. Shabbos is Mishkan, like Shabbos, etc. All other aspects of Ksiva are kind of sitting in their own corner. So we have a major machlokes that just is emerging from this, says the Mishmuel, that is there a halacha of Shluki Derech outside of Shabbos? Now, we can weigh in onto this topic based on the Sugya of Eder Shachoyama. Because remember we said that the Rashba equated the principle of Eder Shachoyama with the principle of Shloki Derech. How do we know that? Because the Rashba is quantifying Shloki Derech, is quantifying Eder Shachoyama based on Kedarka. The Rashba says as long as your writing lasted long enough that a normal person has it last, it doesn't have to last for 100 years. It has to last for Fi Daika Shreyada. I want people to read these notes in the next couple of months. That's called Shokoyama. So the Rashba clearly is made that equation between Eder Shokoyama and Shloki Derech. But by doing so, the Rashba committed himself to applying the principle of Shloki Derech outside of Shabbos. Because we know that Eder Shokoyama is a Gittin. That's what we're learning. That's a mission. It's a Sugya Masechta Gittin. So but the Rashba, by equating Shloki Derech to Eder Shokoyama, is basically committing himself to this notion that Shloki Derech plays a role outside of Shabbos. It's relevant in terms of Hilchos Gittin, which would put the Rashba on the side of the Sefer Truma against this Ramah, which would put the Rashba on the team of those who are saying, wait a second, you can't just write against Shloki Derech. That's so simple. Unless you want to backpedal for a moment and say, not all Shloki Derech are created equal. We're throwing around a lot of different kinds of Shloki Derech here. We are comparing, perhaps apples and oranges, but comparing the Shloki Derech of left-handed people to the Shloki Derech to ink that's not going to last for very long. And we're saying, well, be consistent. If you believe Shloki Derech applies out of Shabbos, then both are a problem. If you deny it, then both are okay. So stop for a minute. Are all Shloki Derechs created equal? Is there a notion in being mechalik in halacha that certain aspects of Shloki Derech are limited to Shabbos? But other aspects of Shloki Derech may actually spill over to other areas of halacha as well. So we have to fine-tune that distinction. So for mitzvah on Friday, we'll try to go a little bit into the details of Shloki Derech and get a little bit of that understanding of the Eder Shachayamah in the worldview of the Rashi. No, that's a bit of a serial. It's still called the Maishat Kaisen. It's kind of just...